السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. رب زدني علما، اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. We praise and we glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves, and we send peace and blessings on His noble messenger, the seal of prophethood, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his noble family and descendants and his companions. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our meeting with His acceptance and making it a means of opening our hearts to His remembrance and to make the opening of His kitab, Al-Fatiha, an opening to our hearts, to His words, to His kalam, and to His orders and to His prohibitions, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in useful knowledge, which is knowledge that helps us to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. So we covered last week the introduction to the opening chapter, Al-Fatiha. And today we are going to actually start with Al-Fatiha, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us that before we read the Qur'an, before we recite the Qur'an, that we seek protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is called isti'adha. Isti'adha is A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. So a few words about this isti'adha, which we use very commonly, and just so that we are on the same page, we understand what this means and what is the implication. So through isti'adha, we are seeking protection from shaitan. As you know, we have a relationship with shaitan. And the history of shaitan goes back, as most of you will know, that shaitan is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that he is from the jinn, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created jinn kind like He created mankind. He created us from hamaim masnoon, sulalatim min teen, but He made the jinn from nar, from fire, smokeless fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the genesis of this whole enmity by telling us that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, which we read every Friday, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ, that when we ordered the malaika to prostrate, to honor our father Adam alayhi salam as a commandment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they all immediately fell in the sujood that was ordered, illa Iblis, except here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word Iblis as his proper name, kana min al jinn, that he was from the jinn, fa fasaqa an amri rabbihi, and he rebelled from the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is where it all starts. And as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him why he does this, and it is essentially out of his arrogance. He says, how could I prostrate or do sajda to one who you have created from clay and I am from fire? And his logical reasoning, even in the presence of a text from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command, he reasoned that fire is superior to clay, so it doesn't make any sense. It is injustice for the fire, the origin, whose origin is in fire, to be prostrating to something which he considered dirty. So he says, "Ana khairum minhu," I am better than he. than Adam alayhi salam. So he had this delusion, which is called ghurur, about himself, and he had this arrogance to rebel against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are several names that are used for him, Iblis being one, Shaytan being one, and Al-Gharur, the deceiver. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also uses that as a title for him. And the root of this word Shaytan, some of the scholars have said, comes from Shatana, which means to be far removed from any good. And Shatun is like a deep well, far down. Another term that's used is called Shatan, which is a rope whose two ends don't meet, they are far from each other. And there is another root which is called Shata. Shata in Arabic means burnt or destroyed. So all of those apply, that, you know, he is from the fire. Number two, he is far from all good. So those are the origins of, linguistic origins of the word Shaytan. And as we said, Shaytan is known for three character traits: arrogance, the ability to deceive and to lie. So kibr, gharur, and kadhib. So these are three traits we bring up because, unfortunately, as human beings, we may be subjected to the same three traits. And if we have all of those together, we have a resemblance with Iblis. So again, I have to look within myself. Do I have any of these? Because all three of them are very, very, very hateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kibr. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, anyone who has an iota, an atom's worth of kibr, will not even smell the Jannah. Similarly, those who lie, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns them. Similarly, those who deceive others. So we have to, when we talk about Shaytan as, you know, us and him and us and them, Shayateen, we should also look and see, do I have any traits that resemble Shaytan? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us about him. He says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tkhulu fis silmi kaffa. O you who believe, enter Islam completely. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wala tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan. And do not follow in the footsteps of shaytan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then clearly tells us, what is his relationship with us? He says, Innahu, certainly he, lakum aduwwum mubin. He is indeed for you an open declared enemy. So you cannot make peace with him. You cannot make deals with him. You cannot side with him. He is an open enemy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs us about this. He says to all of mankind, he says, Ya Bani Adam, la yaftinannakumu shaytanu kama akhraja abawaykum minal jannah. He says, O children of Adam, don't let shaytan deceive you like he did your parents, that he deceived them to get them expelled from Jannah. Inna shaytana lakum adu. He is indeed your enemy. This is repeated over and over in the Quran. So what should be your attitude? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fattakhiduhu aduwa. Therefore, take him as your enemy. Treat him as your enemy. إِنَّمَا يَدْعُوا حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. Because he and his companions, his followers, the shayateen, they invite you, they entice you to the fire of Jahannam. Now the challenge that we as human beings face is that shaytan and the shayateen, the plural, because he has his descendants, his families, his companions, his team, his forces working with him, they see us, but we don't see him, or we don't see them. That's a challenge, because you have an enemy that you can see, you may be able to fight. But when you cannot see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about that. He says, Innahu yaraakum. Indeed, he yaraakum. He sees you. Huwa wa qabiluhu. He and his qabila. They see you. مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. They see you from where you cannot see them. So we are fighting against an unseen enemy. What is Shaitan's promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? After he was expelled from Allah's mercy, from Jannah, he says, now look at this, the goal of Shaitan. He swears by the izzah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I swear by your honor, Ya Allah. I swear, he knows Allah. I swear by your honor, indeed I will take most of them astray. Elsewhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records him as saying, قَالَ رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. He says, oh my Lord, just like you have made me go astray, I will beautify for them what is on the earth. I will make it a temptation for them, and I will lead the most of them astray. So Shaitan has that oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that promise that he is going to lead us astray. And he takes his job seriously. He doesn't fool around, him and his whole team. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, after telling us that you can see him, he is your open enemy, and he has made this promise on Allah's izzah that he will do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reassures the believers. Even the shaitan knows when he says that I will take لَأَغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, then he goes on to say إِلَّا إِبَادِكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ, except those of your ibad, those of your slaves who are mukhlis, who are sincere in their pursuit, who are faithful to you, who want only you. I can take them astray, but the rest I will. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself tells us, this is the statement of Iblis that he knows, but Allah himself tells us and reassures us, he says, إِنَّهُ, indeed he, لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ, لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, that he has no sultan, no power over those who have iman and put their trust in Allah. So this is a great reassurance that yes, indeed, we can fight against Iblis. Now coming back to this isti'adha, when should this isti'adha, a'udhu billahi minash shaitan, be used? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَئِذْ بِاللَّهِ فَاسْتَئِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Literally it means, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ, when you have read the Qur'an. That's the literal translation of this form of the verb. But what is meant is, when you wish to read the Qur'an, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala min ash-shaytanir rajim. So we recite the isti'adha, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, before we recite the Quran. Why? To safeguard us from whisperings of shaitan in interpreting, in understanding, in focusing on the words of Allah. Some scholars have said that literally it means after, you know, when you have read the Qur'an. So there are some scholars who recite isti'adha after finishing the Qur'an. And they say that this is, how does that work? You say, well, it is to suppress the self-admiration that shaitan incites in you. Look how good you are after you've done an act of worship, act of obedience. Oh, how beautifully I read the Qur'an. How much time I dedicated. So Shaitan brings these things in to us, and then therefore they recite the isti'adha after. Or you can do it both before and after. So that's one place we say isti'adha. And as you all know, in the beginning of each rak'ah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to do a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, to because we are now going to recite the Quran after that, which is Fatiha and whatever else. So this is an obedience to Allah's order. And therefore, we recite it at that time. Also, you can say that inside your salah, if you are being distracted or shaitan is putting waswasa in you, you can say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, and sort of lightly spit over your left shoulder like this. Not literally spitting, but making that that motion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also orders us when else to recite the istiaza. He says, when the shaitan gives you some evil suggestions, some thoughts come to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَئِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ سَمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. So whenever you get an evil suggestion from shaitan, seek protection, refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying istiaza. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ رَبِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ حَمَزَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And say to them, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O my Lord, I seek protection and refuge in you from حَمَزَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. What is حَمَزَات? The promptings, the whispering, the waswasa of shaitan. Okay, so the waswasa is not something you hear in your ear. It's an idea that's introduced into your heart or into your brain. You know, suddenly a thought comes from nowhere. Usually a thought that will distract you from doing something good, that will take you from doing something that is at a higher level of good to a level that's lower than good, or that will clearly take you to disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to understand that every suggestion of shaitan leads to sin, or at least to take you from a higher grade of hasanat, of good deed, to a lower grade, because he gradually wants to wean you into sinfulness, especially if you are a righteous person. And every sinful act that we follow and that we follow through on this waswasa has a harmful effect on the spiritual state of the person, and it corrodes and corrupts the heart. It's like a spiritual poison. Another place where the Prophet ﷺ teaches us to use the istiaza is when a person is angry. The Prophet ﷺ gave us this formula. This actually happened. The Prophet ﷺ was sitting with some of his companions, and two men started fighting, and they started abusing and cursing each other, and one of them became so angry and so red. The Prophet ﷺ said, I know a statement that if he were to say it, what he is experiencing would leave him. And he said that is, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Because it's shaitan's job to make people fight and quarrel and use bad language and so on, become enemies. That's his job. So we are taught how to control anger management. Firstly, if you're sitting, you're standing, you sit down, drink some water, say A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, and you know, even renew your wudu, because anger is like a fire, and you put out fire like shaitan, by instant fire rises, you sit down, you put water on it to put it out, and you look at the source of this, which is shaitan, you seek protection from him. Also, we use it if you have a real bad dream. You wake up, you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, do the same thing over your left shoulder, and you change positions and you go back to sleep. So what exactly are we doing? The word A'udhu means I seek refuge. It means to guard yourself. It means to fortify or strengthen yourself, to rescue yourself, and to become victorious. So essentially, it is to flee from that which you fear, that something will harm you. You're running from that to that which will safeguard you from it. Now we'll take an example, simple example, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all examples and comparison. A child, when a child is fearful of something, what does he do? He runs to his parents, to his father or mother, and he clings to them, knowing that they have strength and they can protect him. Our istiaza is somewhat similar, that we run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we cling and we ask for protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is the ma'ad. A'udhu billah, ma'ad, the one who provides that refuge. So I take refuge with Allah alone, no one else, from shaitan, that because he may harm me in my religion, or he may divert me from my duty that Allah has imposed upon me, while I am acknowledging that Allah has the power to protect me, and no one else. That I am professing my own weakness, that by myself I cannot protect myself from the attacks of shaitan. So I am admitting my own weakness and inability to combat an unseen enemy, and I ask Allah's protection. So if you look at it this way, the abd, the servant, does not see shaitan, but shaitan sees the abd. So since I can't see him, what do? I, as the abd, I turn to the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sees shaitan and who the shaitan cannot see. So we are summoning the help and protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against him and his strategies, because we do not see him. Now, is the isti'adha an obligation, a fard, or a recommendation? There are differences of opinion. Some people say it's an obligation, some people say it's a recommendation, it's a mustahab. But when you're reciting the Quran, since Allah has put it in the command form, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ, I think it's safer and better to take it as a command and to follow that as an obligation. Now, there's also a difference of opinion. Should you recite it in every rakah when you get up before you start Fatiha, or in the first rakah? And there is a difference of opinion. There are some schools of thought which recite it in every rakah, and others who just say that in the first rakah is sufficient. Now, there are different formats of this isti'adha. The most common one that we all use, which is A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Because this literally takes the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using it and translates it into that I seek refuge with Allah from shaitan ar-rajim, the rejected, the stoned. And this is the direct sort of translation of the ayah of Surah An-Nahl into a dua, into this isti'adha. And this is the opinion that this is the best form according to Imam Ash-Shafi and Imam Abu Hanifa. Now, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal uses A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim innahu huwa as-sami'ul alim. So he adds that second part from elsewhere, which is in Surah Fussilat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says seek protection, and then adds from who? From Allah, the sami'ul alim. So he adds that. And then Imam, some of the Shafi'i school also use A'udhu billahi sami'ul alim minash shaitanir rajim, putting that form. And there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which says, "A'udhu billahi samil alim min ash-shaytanir rajim min hamzihi wa nafkhihi wa nafthihi." Means, I seek the protection of the one who hears all, who is all knowledgeable, from shaitan the rejected, from his madness, from his arrogance, and from his poetry. So this is a little bit about the isti'adha, or A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, which is how we start our recitation of the Quran. Now we come to the first ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha, which is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And we talked about the opinions, whether this is the first ayah or whether the Bismillah comes as an introduction. And we talked about those seven ayahs, how they are comprised. But if we take it as the first ayah, then we will deal with it. Now, this formula of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is simply called Basmala. Instead of saying, say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, you can say Basmala. So, it is the Islamic etiquette that every action should be started by invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help, for his acceptance, for his blessings, by calling and remembering and recalling his name. And this was established from the very first revelation of the Quran, which is what? اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read in the name of your Lord who created. So we, by doing this, we shouldn't just do it as a habit. We should, when we say that, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, we should bring to mind the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before doing any action. What would that do? That would prevent us from doing anything that's evil. Obviously, you're not going to be starting any sinful act by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It also helps us to attain the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and help and facilitation in that particular action. And it also reminds us that most of these acts should in fact be for the pleasure of Allah alone. If you look a little deeper, if you are thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way, it reminds us of our purpose that we are here for the ubudiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That every action should be an act of worship if it's done properly, following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we keep that in mind, and this bismillah is always a source of blessing for that action, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sole possessor of all processes as well as all results. So with the action you're going to do, how it proceeds, whether it's with difficulty or ease, is in Allah's control. What the end result of that action is going to be is in Allah's control. So we are invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because in His hands is the key to all the treasures that we seek. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ. And there is nothing except it is within the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anything good that you're seeking to do comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His treasures, including our own actions, because our actions that are righteous are acts of obedience that is given to us by the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the strength that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, by the health that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So what I say with this is, I seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I say Bismillah, and we're going to come to that, that proper name of Allah, Allah encompasses every one of His other names. Okay, so when we use Allah, that means we are invoking Allah by that name and through that name with all of His other attributes and names. The All-Merciful, and we add those, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the Most Merciful, for the particular action that I'm about to do. So this Ba that we start with, Bismillah, the Ba of Bismillah, Ism is name of Allah, I start in the name. The Ba is called the Ba of Isti'ana. Isti'ana means to seek help, to seek support. That I begin with the help and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is like an invocation, is like a dua to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help, to make it easy and to have success in it and to protect us from anything harmful that might come out of it. So we are making an appeal to all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the beginning of everything we do. Now there's another opinion, because as you know, Bismillah, people have said, some of the scholars, that this is Ba of Qasam. Like you are familiar with, we've read a lot of, covered a lot of surahs that start with a Qasam. Okay. So, like, Washamsi, Wallayli. So, that is Ba of Qasam, but Ba is also used as a Qasam. And some have said that this is the Ba of Qasam, that it is an oath that Allah is taking on His own name. What is the oath? He's taking an oath on the greatest of His names at the beginning of every surah. He is swearing on to His slaves that what I have laid down to you in what follows in the surah in the Quran is true. And that whatever promises I have made in what you're going to read are true. So this is an oath from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever promises of mercy and kindness and guidance, they are all true. Another, if you will remember, one of the attributes or names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Awwal. Al-Awwal Al-Akhir, or Zahir Al-Batin. Al-Awwal Laysa Qablahu Shay. The first, before him, there was nothing. So if he is first Al-Awwal, doesn't it make sense that we begin everything with his name? And then we say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. We are using two of those special names of Allah that are used so often, invoking his loving mercy or his merciful love, his infinite mercy on us in our action. So when do we use the Basmalah? Of course, it should be used before all actions. So this morning, as I was leaving my house, how do I say? Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allahi wala. When I get in my car and I'm ready to drive, what do I say? Bismillah walhamdulillah subhanalladhi sakhara lana. I take my breakfast, what do I say? Bismillah. So, eating, drinking, leaving your home, entering your home. You get on a boat, what do you say? Bismillahi majreha wa mursaha. So, Bismillah is, if you are stumble, your ride stumbles, you say Bismillah. If you're enjoying marital relationship, conjugal relationship, you start with Bismillah. Every action should start with remembrance of who provides all of this, who facilitates everything. One day the Prophet ﷺ was riding a camel or a horse, and there was someone sitting behind him, and the camel stumbled and was about to fall, and the person who was with the Prophet ﷺ cursed the shaitan. And the Prophet ﷺ said, don't curse the shaitan when something like this happens, because it makes shaitan feel very arrogant, look what I did to them. Instead of that, say Bismillah, that you, even in that moment, you remember Allah, and that makes the shaitan shrink. And he gave the example that he becomes small and insignificant like a fly. Also, when we are doing wudu, we do Bismillah, because the Prophet ﷺ tells us that there is no wudu for one who does not start with Bismillah. Because it's like taking any other wash if you don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fadail of this Basmala is that if you analyze it, it contains essentially the whole essence of the Sharia in it. Just the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Because it indicates the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the whole goal. Allah, who is ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, his attributes, and that he is in control of everything. And he is the one to whom we have to turn for everything. So that is the summary of all of our deen. And people who have honored this, you know, we have, I think, in the past talked about one of the great saintly scholars by the name of Bishr al-Hafi, who found piece on of fabric or something on which the name Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim was written. And he, even in his drunken state, he picked it up and he honored it, he perfumed it, and he put it on a high place. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent another person to him and guided him to Islam, because he had honored the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even though he was drunk, and then made him into one of the most respected, you know, spiritual masters of our deen, Bishr al-Hafi. Some other time we can talk more in detail about him. Ali radiallahu anhu said that in Bismillah there is healing from illness and protection from disease, and it gives us strength. So after Surah An-Naml was revealed, in which Sulaiman alayhi salam sends a letter to the Malika Bilqis of Saba, who says innahu min Sulaiman innahu bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. He started with bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. It is said that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the revelation of Surah An-Naml, started whenever he used to dictate something to be written or a letter to be sent, he would start with bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim. We hope that this session has been somewhat useful. This is something that we should reflect on, each word. Sit and reflect on how I have understood these words, and also feel the impact of that when you recite it in your Fatiha 17 times a day. Recite the Fatiha slowly, feeling that, feeling the words, feeling the Fatiha. And if we feel the Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open our hearts to everything else, to all goodness. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this, and inshallah we will end this session. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.